Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we shall have in relationship to the issue that we will discuss. It is my privilege to invite you to call 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone number that gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion and have your input. Always delighted to understand what you're thinking and to think with you and to speak with you in relationship to the issues that we discuss. It is a program, Let's Face the Issues, a program that's designed around the Q&A process, the dialogue and discussion. So we always invite your call, your thoughts, your opinions, your discussion with it illuminates and excites and encourage others to join in the dialogue and discussion to be a part of this broadcast. Let's Face the Issues is not a program, ladies and gentlemen, that's based on philosophy or ideological bent. It's not a program that's based on some denominational dogma with the rites and rituals and rules and regulations. Our program, ladies and gentlemen, is fundamentally, foundationally based upon the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The focus that I attempt to bring forth every day is what does the Word of God say in view of these issues? Many of these issues sound very bleak and dark, and it's because we're living in bleak, dark last days before the church is raptured out of this old world. But I believe as Christians, we need to understand what's happening. We need to be informed. I have found to my chagrin and to my sadness that most Christians are not aware of what's happening on a national plane. Most Christians are not aware of anything that's taking place that's circumventing the rights and the opportunities for Christians to speak freely. Most Christians are not aware of the demise of the church in America today. Most Christians are unaware, and some do not even care, that Christians are being persecuted and hunted down like animals. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that in a moment. We're going to talk about the hunt for Christians. The hunt for Christians. And I'm talking about a safari-type hunt for Christians. But before we get into that dialogue and discussion, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we base what we say on the truth of the Word of God. Truth is a word that is not sought after today. In fact, it is not looked at as being important any place in Washington today, the House or the Senate. It seems as though truth is very elusive, even among Christians and denominationalists today. Truth is an elusive thing. When God's Word says don't, that settles it. We ought not to. But yet we find across denominational lines today, the diatribe, the dialogue, the discussion, debate in relationship to what should we do about the LGBTQ? How should we respond to the sodomite lifestyle? How should we respond to the transgender dysphoria that's permeating society today? All of those things, ladies and gentlemen, are answered in the Word of God. But as we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist worldview. The scripture is very clear. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. He didn't finish there. He didn't stop there. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people on radio or television using a half quote of that saying, well, you know, the truth shall make you free. Yes, it does. But what is the truth? It's the Word of God. How does it set us free? When we continue in His Word. And then we're His disciples, and then we shall know the truth. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to know the truth lest we know the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And that's what Jesus is speaking of when he speaks to his disciples, the way he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so it's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we seek to pursue and we seek to use as the guidance for what we say and the positions that we take on Let's Face the Issues. Now, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. You can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing that number. And sometimes you might be put on hold a couple of minutes until others have finished their conversation. But nevertheless, we'd love to have you call and express your thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the hunt for Christians. I recall, let me set the table a little. Let me set the place a little. I recall a number of years ago, in fact, it's been 35 years ago, that I had a discussion with Hans Tansler, the former mayor of Jacksonville. In fact, Hans was here and assisted with the groundbreaking many, many years ago for the church facilities that's here today. Hans, on one occasion, was telling me about his going to Johannesburg, South Africa, for a safari. He enjoyed the wild hunt. He enjoyed the big hunt with the large weapons. And he would usually have a safari guide that will take them deep into the jungles and the spaces where those animals were. But he enjoyed going on the African safaris, hunting wild game and tigers and lions and elephants and whatever else you do in those game hunts that he was so thrilled with, and had an opportunity to kind of get away from everything in doing so. The goal was, as he explained to me, the goal was to search using a native guide to search for the wildlife, those that they were there to legally hunt and to legally kill. This activity still exists today, ladies and gentlemen. Many will travel around the globe to go on a wildlife safari hunt. But ladies and gentlemen, that's all right if that's what they're going to do in that area. I've never been an avid hunter, never been an avid fisherman. I tried my hand at it quite some time ago and found I was not a successful fisherman, that is for fish. But would you ever thought that today the hunt is for Christians? Yes, you heard me right. The hunt on an international and national level, the hunt today is to place a target on the back of a Christian or the target on the church and to hunt the Christian and to hunt the church to destroy the Christian's testimony, to destroy the Christian and to close the church. That's the hunt today that's taking place. Don't you dare sit there and think that it's not happening in America. It's not as open and wicked in the view of the public as it is today in parts of Africa, where literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches are being burned and Christians are being beheaded and Christians are being burned. And yet you don't see that on the make-believe, fake, phony, false news that's taking place today. But ladies and gentlemen, the Christians are being hunted and pursued today as I never would have dreamed possible a century ago. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I'm holding in my hand. It says, Google engineer goes public, spills the beans on the hunt for Christians. Hear me, let me read that headline again. You've not heard this on the fake news. Google engineer, by the way, he's been fired, therefore he's speaking out. Google engineer goes public, spills the beans on the hunt for Christians. End quote. That's the title of the article. Here's just a little blurb out of a 3 or 4 page article. An open letter distributed Tuesday, a Google software engineer described a company culture of left-wing outrage mobs who use the tech giant's anonymous bias reporting channels to shut down conservatives, social and political and Christian. Mike Wacker, W-A-C-K-E-R, writing on Medium, that's the news medium, warned that if left is, that is the left wing, if the left is left unchecked, these outraged mobs will hunt down any conservative, any Christian, and any independent freethinker at Google who does not bow to their agenda. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an astounding thing. When you hear this from a former Google employee that is, as the article calls it, spilling the beans, and is going public, that there is a hunt by Google to hunt for, and the idea of hunting is to find, to secure, and to kill the one that's in the crosshairs of the weapon that's being used. and Google engineer goes public spilling the beans of the hunt for Christians. Not on anything that's any more ominous than that. To understand, here's a major, major social media search engine that's hunting down Christians and conservatives, and as the article says, independent thinkers. Ladies and gentlemen, let me first and foremost tell you that this is not just something that's aberrant. This is not something that's just found with Google. May I suggest to you that Facebook, Yahoo, and Google, and any of the other social media platforms today, they're doing the very same thing, and it's just not been publicly admitted and or revealed as it is now with Google. But let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the laws and the federal laws in America, that's illegal. Ought not to be, but it's taking place. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, many examples of this hunt. We're witnessing the examples of the hate and the persecution, the prosecution of Christians today. And it's the, many times, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the social media platforms. It's not just in the realm of government behind the scenes, like Jerry Nadler and others. We'll talk about his wicked life and his approach now with being the carrier of the bucket of water, if you will, for Nancy Pelosi and the socialist in Washington in passing House Bill 5, and we'll talk about House Bill 5 in a moment. But some of the examples, ladies and gentlemen, that we're witnessing today of this hunt and this hatred and this persecution for Christians. Recently, you might recall me saying something about it on this broadcast. Vice President Mike Pence at Taylor University, a Christian university, ladies and gentlemen, had the students and faculty members stand and walk out when he came to speak at the commencement service last week. Why did this happen? Just because Vice President Pence is a Christian that stands against the LGBTQ and for better this LGBTQ, and they've got all kinds of other letters for the acronym today, but simply put, the sodomite movement in America. Because Mike Pence stands against the sodomite movement in America, because Mike Pence stands against murder by way of abortion, he was demeaned, dissed, and disliked by the makeup of the faculty and the staff and some of the student body at Taylor University, which is supposed to be a Christian university. Ladies and gentlemen, it happens to be a religious liberal arts school with a department of religion. And you can't get any more wicked than that. You don't want me to take the balance of this broadcast just explaining to you the wickedness of a liberal arts school under the banner of Christianity that has a department of religion, but they will accept anybody with any theology, any background, any lifestyle, any morals, any values, or none at all, simply because they want the federal dollars to go into the coffers for that university, that school. That's the level that we've plummeted to in America in the realm of education. That goes from kindergarten right on through graduate and postgraduate schools in our colleges and universities. This article says dozens walk out before Mike Pence's commencement address at Taylor University. In caps and gowns, the students and faculty rose and quietly walked down the aisle and out of the auditorium. Pence used the commencement address to urge religious resolve among the Christian schools and the graduates and the faculty members. This is what Mike Pence says. Throughout most of our American history, it's been pretty easy to call yourself a Christian. But things are different now, Pence said. Lately, it's become acceptable, even fashionable, to marginalize and malign traditional Christian beliefs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a statement directly out of the mouth of Vice President Mike Pence. But as a result of his stand on morals and ethics and values as a Christian, he was marginalized, he was demeaned, he was dissed, and some of the faculty and some of the staff and many of the students stood up and walked out. And they claimed to be Christian. And their argument against him was he doesn't show love to the sodomite community. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to a plummeted position today in society where Christians are being forced to not only accept but embrace the sodomite lifestyle in America today. And it's being done, ladies and gentlemen, through our colleges and our universities, our schools, and by legislative action in Washington. Here's another example, ladies and gentlemen, of what's happening when we talk about the hunt for Christians today. Where Christians have a target on their back or the target on their forehead, where churches have a target on them simply for being Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, Chick-fil-A is targeted and banned in some cities just because the owner of Chick-fil-A stands for biblical values and refuses to bow down to political correctness in his organization. It's illustrating, ladies and gentlemen, the hunt for Christians by placing Christians on the as the target being prosecuted and persecuted. Here's an article that says Chick-fil-A targeted for brand new reasons. Now, they've been targeted for several years. But ladies and gentlemen, the more you target Chick-fil-A, the more God's hand is upon them. And as it stands now, Chick-fil-A has reached the level of being number three in the nation for fast food. And they're closed on Sunday. They have a moral, ethical standard for their employees. But yet they are being obedient. And at the same time, as a result of their obedience before the Lord, they're being maligned and dissed and disavowed. And in some cases, like this case in Texas, it is absolutely a shame where there's an attempt to prevent them from being in some of the public spaces in some of the cities. This article says, at the center of the battle over marriage, the popular Christian-owned restaurant chain Chick-fil-A is once again a target of criticism, this time over a $1.65 million donation to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to support summer camps for inner-city Atlanta youth. The LGBTQ blog named Outsports called attention to the donation, saying the company's charitable arm has been continually criticized for its donations to organizations classified as anti-LGBTQ, end quote. Further, the article says Outsports, which again is an arm of the LGBTQ, complained that the continued association with an organization that is rooted in specific religious belief to the point that it literally has Christian in its name undercuts the inclusive mission. You know what I'm saying? Just because the Fellowship of Christian Athletes has the name Christian in the title of the organization, all of a sudden it is automatically dissed, denied, and rejected by the LGBTQ, the sodomite arm that's pushing across America as a juggernaut, trying to destroy Christian morals and values and ethics, and trying to prosecute and persecute Christians and close churches. This article further says, but Outsports' real problem with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is that it requires its leaders, listen, to agree to a sexual purity policy that forbids them from participating in heterosexual sex outside of marriage or any homosexual act. It further defines such an act as not acceptable to God. So because of the moral, ethical mission statement in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, all of a sudden now, they are targeted with a target on the forehead by the LGBTQ sodomite organization as being nothing and should be trounced underfoot and destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening across America today, as a result of we as believers taking a stand for moral ethical values. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the hunt for Christians. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Christians to look up and listen up, for our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture says. It is time that we as Christians stop looking for signs and have our ears tuned for the sound when that trumpet sounds, and we're going to be suddenly seized and snatched out of this old world. Based on the authority of scripture, I make that statement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 is talking about the rapturus, the sudden seizure, the snatching away, the rapture of the church out of this old world. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm ready. If it happens in the next 30 seconds, I'm ready. And the question is, begs to be asked and answered, are you ready? Do you know that you know that you know you're saved? Have you invited Christ to come into your heart? Are you blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again? I'm not talking about, are you Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, any other ism or schism. I'm not talking about, are you faithful at church? I'm talking about, do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the hunt for Christians. It is a safari hunt that is open in the world today. It is in the nation today, and Christians and churches are being hunted down. Ladies and gentlemen, churches are being burdened with either taxation or high fees to discourage churches and Christians or close the church. Churches are federally tax exempt. I don't know if you know that or not, but churches are federally tax exempt. And it's based on the authority that our founding fathers so aptly used. It's based on the authority of Ezra 7:24. Ezra 7:24 says, also, we certify to you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nephilims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose a toll, a tribute, or a custom, so my taxes, upon them. And our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, used God's precept and God's principle and God's word in Ezra 7:24 to make it federally illegal to tax houses of worship, places where churches meet and where Christians have opportunity to study the word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not what is taking place in America today in so many places. Here's an article that says U.S. town triples the bill for Christian churches. A lawsuit has been filed against a Texas town by three Christian churches who are alleging that while the town isn't allowed to charge them property tax, it is trying to make up for the lost revenue by charging them excessive fees to have their water connection to their properties. The case is being brought in district court in Montgomery County by the First Liberty Institute on behalf of Magnolia Baptist Church, First Baptist Church, and Believers Fellowship Church. The city is the defendant in that case. Here's the article further. Texas law clearly exempts religious and nonprofit organizations from any taxation, said Mike Berry, chief of the staff of First Liberty. Magnolia's water fees scheme hinders these churches from providing many vital services to the community because of the government's unquenchable thirst for taxing money against the churches. These churches offer a multitude of services to their communities, and overcharging their water limits the services they can provide for the community. The city last year announced it would begin charging the churches with, quote, an institutional water service fee, which are significantly higher than the rates that they charge for commercial businesses. Previously, the city had treated churches and businesses equally. In one case, a church's water bill increased 178%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an attempt to close a church or to marginalize the church. The article further says, the city administrator said, quote, implementing an institutional rate would allow the city to collect funds for these entities in place of taxes or other fees. That's opening in your face saying, we're going to use a backdoor approach to charge taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, 2001, October the 20th, the appeals court of the state of Florida ruled that any fee that's charged against a church that can be collected by FIFA or foreclosure on the property is a de facto tax and is illegal in the state of Florida. They haven't evidently learned that lesson in the state of Texas, and they're trying to close churches by increasing exponentially so the water fees on the churches. This article further says the churches charge, quote, the institutional water rate is a thinly veiled property tax on a tax-exempt entity and, as such, tries to preempt the state laws. Ladies and gentlemen, churches are tax-exempt based on federal law today. And I'm delighted that our founding fathers did that. And I am fearful that there's coming a day when the attitude across the nation is going to be, we need to tax the churches and close their doors. There's no recognition that a church and Christians are salt and light in a community that helps the community, not hurting it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding government-controlled schools are targeting Christians as our Christian faith is being forced upon a faith other than a Christian faith is being forced upon our children. Some of the schools, ladies and gentlemen, are forcing the students to pray an Islamic jihadist prayer. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the key thought, the issue today, the hunt for Christians. And I'm wanting us to understand through a smattering of articles and information that is happening across every venue in America today. It is in the schools. It's in the nation's capital. It's across the nation in our cities and counties and states and the legislative bodies where there's an attempt to disallow, and to diss the churches to the point that one day the churches will be closed. You may be listening today and say, well, it won't bother me. Maybe you're listening today and say, well, then close the church. And some of you that's listening, you may not even attend church. I understand that. If you don't, that's to your detriment, not mine. But I want us to understand God ordained the church. God formed the home. God formed government. And God formed the church. And God has so ordained that we gather together in corporate worship. The church is where Christ died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. For the church, the bride of Christ is the church. And Jesus Christ gave himself fully, wholly, totally, unreservedly for the church. And it's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we have some schools today, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, U.S. schools fail Christian student for refusing the Islamic prayer. This article further says, and it's a large article, I'm just going to read you some smatterings. The declarations could have been made by an imam in a mosque sermon. And I'm going to give you some quotes that's being made in a school, in the U.S. schools, and this one in particular is in Maryland. Most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian's faith, end quote. Another quote, Islam is the heart of a peaceful religion, end quote. Jihad is a personal struggle and devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual discipline, end quote. Another quote, to Muslims, Allah is the same God that is worshipped in Christianity and Judaism. Another quote, men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore to be obedient to the men, end quote. You see, the problem is that those statements were part of the instructions in a public school in Maryland, and one of the students in that classroom is now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to condemn such religious lessons funded by taxpayers. The Thomas More Law Center has submitted a petition asking the High Court to take the case of the student, Kaylee Wood. Here's the quote. Here's the Star article. As a Christian and 11th grader at La Plata High School in Maryland, Kaylee Wood was taught that most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian. She was also required to profess in writing, to profess in writing the Islamic conversion creed. Here's the Islamic conversion creed. And this classroom, including this dear Christian student, asked to write it. Here's the quote. Here's the writing. It is the conversion creed for Islam. There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger, is the messenger of Allah, end quote. Ms. Wood believed that it was a sin to profess in word or in written form that there is no other God except Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. She stood firm on her Christian beliefs and was punished for it. The school refused her request to opt out of the course as an alternative assignment. She was refused, and as a result of the refusal to allow her as a Christian, she failed the grade. They failed her in that classroom. The lower courts have given a free pass, ladies and gentlemen, to the school districts to teach Islam in the school. Thomas More Law Center filed the request with the Supreme Court to decide, quote, whether any legal basis exists to allow public schools to discriminate against Christianity while at the same time promoting Islam. This article says, under the guise of teaching history or social studies, public schools across America are promoting the religion of Islam in ways that would never, ever, ever be tolerated for Christianity or any other religion in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the hunt for Christian. We're talking about putting the crosshairs, if you please, on the forehead or on the back of Christians and on churches. We're talking about the danger that we're faced with in America by that taking place. Government-controlled schools now targeting Christians and promoting Islam. Another issue, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the hunt for Christians. Christians are targeted for street preaching or even passing out gospel tracts in a mall. Christians are being threatened, hunted down, targeted, persecuted, and prosecuted just for being a Christian. Here's an article that says a mall is sued for demanding $250 to hand out a gospel tract. California woman is suing a shopping mall for requiring her to pay a $250 fee each and every gospel tract that she passes out. While the malls are privately owned in California, however, courts have ruled that areas of public accommodation where free speech is protected, the Pacific Justice Institute, representing Deborah Moore, won a nearly identical case a few years ago. But this is another case. Today, Pacific Coast sued in Superior Court in Kern County on behalf of Moore, who had been handing out tracts at the Valley Plaza Mall in Bakersfield to people interested in learning more about her Christian faith, end quote. However, mall security officers accused her of soliciting, and she was given a retailer application and told that she must submit the application and pay a fee and also $250 each time she handed out a tract, end quote. Matthew Reynolds, a senior attorney at the Pacific Coast Justice Institute, who filed the lawsuit last week, said, and I quote, the mall's position is that free speech is only free when it's spoken, not written, and when the mall thinks it is pleasant speech and Christian speech is not pleasant speech, they contend. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble in America. In fact, Ted Cruz has just filed an action against Yale Law School demanding they disclose all of their documents because it's discovered that the Yale Law School has been discriminating against people of faith. If there's anything in the application process at Yale Law School that indicates you're a Christian or that you have moral, ethical, biblical beliefs, your application is summarily denied. And you've not heard anything about that investigation by Ted Cruz. I'm holding in my hand the entire letter and the request to produce documents that was sent out by Ted Cruz to the Yale Law School, and it was done so just very recently, but nothing's been said on national news. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on all day in relationship to what's happening with that, but ladies and gentlemen, the latest is with that House Bill 5 that's just been passed by 240 votes in the House is a veiled attempt. It is a veiled attempt to thwart, to deny, and to circumvent our constitutional rights, our freedom of speech, and religious liberties. What should we do? How should we respond? Jesus said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me first. And John 15:20 says, if they have persecuted you, they will also, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. How should we then live? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, study Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and following. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And part of that whole armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need the Word of God hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.